I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Today on It's a Good Life, we want to continue our study on the subject, the bird's eye view for me and you, the books of the New Testament. Today we're going to look at study number 2, the book of Mark. Now last time we looked at the book of Matthew. And we understand that the author was Matthew. He was a tax collector. It was written before A.D. 70. And we also know that as we study the book of Matthew, that the genealogy of Christ, as seen there, was a genealogy going through Joseph. Now, Joseph was not his father. He was his adoptive father. He did not cause Mary to give birth to Jesus, but he was his adoptive father. So therefore, in the book of Matthew, we see how that the lineage of Jesus is traced back through the lineage of Joseph. Well, in the book of Mark now, we want to look forward. Now, in the book of Luke, and we'll be to that next week, we'll see another genealogy of Jesus. But today, we want to look at the book of Mark. And, you know, Dwight L. Moody said this. He said, there's no better book with which to defend the Bible than the Bible itself. We need nothing else. We do not need all of the commentaries and people who really make excuses for the Bible in saying that there may be mistakes in the Bible, but you know this and that. But the Bible itself speaks for itself. And I do not believe there is any mistakes in the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the completed Word of God. God has given us His Word that we might be saved and know we're saved and on our way to heaven. Well, in the book of Mark, we want to look at some of the highlights of this book. Let me remind you, we're not going in depth in this study of the New Testament. I'm simply doing this in trusting that God would help us and help you to think your way through the New Testament and get some of the highlights of the books of the New Testament. Well, the background of the book is the author is John Mark. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. This would be John Mark, or Mark, the author of the book of Mark. At this point in Acts chapter 13, John Mark left the party. It wasn't a party that they had noisemakers and all this. I'm speaking of the party of travelers there, Paul and those other individuals. He left for unknown reasons. And Paul, in any case, thought his departure was unwarranted. Now, for whatever reason, John Mark left, and Paul didn't seem to be very pleased. But we know that later on, Paul would say, bring John Mark, for he is profitable for the ministry. So we see that in 2 Timothy 4:11 it says, only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So John Mark was an important figure in the workings of God. The date of the writing of John Mark was around, or the book of Mark was around A.D. 60 through 70. And we see that it covered the events around 27 to 30 A.D. And the setting for the book of Mark is the Jewish communities in Galilee, Perea, and Judea. The book of Mark was probably meant for a Roman readership. Now, Perea is a region of ancient Israel east of the Jordan River in Moab. And we understand that Moab is a type of the world, and this was an area of the Gentiles. And this is also found in the book of Ruth, if you want to go back and study the book of Ruth. Well, once again, the background of the book is the writer, the date, and the setting. And now look at the theme with me. The theme of the book, you have several verses that are the theme verses of the book, chapter 8 and verse 31, 34 through 37, and then chapter 10, verses 33 through 34, verse 43 through 45. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, this is Jesus, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So we see that even there in the book of Mark chapter 8, he's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. This is Jesus speaking, of course. And then the theme itself is to present Jesus as the suffering servant and redeemer. And the emphasis is upon the action. In other words, the trial, death, and we see this being shown to us in detail. The theme, the outline of the theme, is the presentation of the servant. He is the Son of God, according to chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 11. Chapter 8, verse 27 through 30 talks about this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And all through the scriptures we see this, and we see this purposely and specifically in the book of Mark in those verses I've just read to you. And we also see that in chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, something takes place there called the Transfiguration. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias or Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, notice this now, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Well, Peter was impetuous, and we call him that sometimes. He spoke before he thought, and this time he wanted to build three tabernacles. And had he been thinking the way he should have been thinking, he might have said something like this, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us honor you and let us place you in the position that we need to honor you as number one. You are the person we're here to praise. Well, we not only see the transfiguration taking place there, we see the theme of the book is the trial, death, and we see this in detail. But we see the work of the servant. He was a preacher. He preached the gospel. Chapter 1 talks about this. And he called his disciples. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about the calling of the disciples. And then we see also that he went about healing individuals. He was a teacher in chapter 4 and verses 1 through 34. It talks about his teaching. Jesus also performed miracles. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 talks about this. And then we see the opposition to the servant over the friendship with sinners. It says in Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We become so heavenly minded sometimes that we become of no earthly good to the people around us. We need to understand that we are in the world. We're not to be of the world, but we are not to separate ourselves from those people who need Jesus as their Savior. Jesus ate with sinners. He told them what they needed to do in order to go to heaven. And that's what we need to do as saved people today, is to tell those people in and around about us how to go to heaven and not separate ourselves from them. We don't have to be like them. We need to be not in the sense of above them, but we need to let them know that we love them. We're human just like they are, and they can be saved just like we've been saved. Well, Jesus had opposition concerning his friendship with sinners over the Sabbath, opposition of unbelief by his friends and others. Chapter 3 and verse 20 through 21, chapter 6, verse 1 through 6 talks about this. Has your family turned against you today because you're a Christian? Has your friends turned against you? Well, don't think it odd, because the Bible teaches us in those chapters I just mentioned that even his friends, even his family turned against him. They thought he was mad. They thought Jesus was, the Bible says he was beside himself, they thought. In other words, let's get him. He doesn't know what he's doing. So don't think it odd that people will find things against you and think that sometimes you're even mad. Well, we also see that there was a preparation for his disciples. And he prepared his disciples for his death. In chapter 9, verse 30 through 32, he talks about this. He teaches the way of greatness in chapter 9 and chapter 10. Jesus shows riches can hinder entering the kingdom. He doesn't say it's going to keep you out. He says it can be a hindrance. He talks about his coming crucifixion in chapter 10. And we see many other things that he talks about in the book of Mark. And as we continue looking, we see the application of the book of Mark. And Jesus tells us about the way to greatness in God's kingdom. The way to greatness is to be willing to pay the price. I didn't say you had to pay the price, but you need to be willing to pay the price. We must follow Christ according to chapter 8 and verse 34. It says there, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus doesn't say that all of us will have to pay with our lives for his sake, but we need to be willing to do that. We must come to Christ as a little child, according to chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. Receive him in childlike faith. We don't see Jesus with our natural eye, but we see him through the eye of faith. We take him at his word through the word of God. Christ came to serve, according to chapter 10, verse 45. The way of greatness is to become a servant. We need to be willing to serve as Jesus was a servant. The way to greatness is to be willing to serve, be willing to suffer, come to him as a little child. Have you done that today? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? May I invite you to do so right now. Pray a prayer something like this. My prayer won't save you, but if you'll pray this and mean it in your heart, God says in his word, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. I receive you just now as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. It's all because of you that I can go there. Please come into my heart and save me today." If you'll pray a prayer like that, the Bible says God will save you. "To as many as received him, to them gave he power." Now, I like to use the word privilege, to become the sons of God, the children of God. Ask him to come into your heart. Well, it's been good being with you today. Let me remind you that next time we'll be looking at the book of Luke. That'll be our third study in the bird's eye view of me and you for the books of the New Testament. Let me invite you to write me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Or you can look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. You can receive a free transcript by writing me, or you can go to the website and also receive a free transcript download there. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.